Welcome to Lectionary Bites, a podcast for the busy pastor, the bogged down student, and the curious biblical scholar. Each short episode features different professors and students from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, narrowing in on an insight or two from the assigned scripture readings from the week. We hope these bites can support your sermon prep, spark new ideas and connections, and help you meditate on God's word throughout your busy week. Lectionary Bites is brought to you by the Hasse Library on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. The Hasse Library, inspiring theological discovery.
Hello, and welcome to Lectionary Bites. My name is Eric Hart, and I'm a fourth-year MDiv student here at Concordia Seminary, and I've got another student here, so why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Sam Schick. I'm also a fourth-year MDiv student. Eric, why don't you tell us about our text today?
Yeah, thanks, Sam. So the text I'd like to talk with you about today is the gospel reading for the second Sunday of Easter. So for this year, it's appointed for April 24th, 2022. And this passage is pretty familiar gospel reading from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. And since it's a little bit of a longer text, I'll just kind of summarize it briefly. Again, this is a pretty familiar text. So at the beginning, we see the disciples are hiding for fear of the Jews. So they've seen Jesus be led to the cross, crucified, they scattered. So now we find them hiding for fear of the religious authorities. But as we know, a locked door can't stop Jesus because he told his disciples that he is the door. So he just shows up in their midst and says, "Peace be with you." And then he breathes on his disciples, and he commissions them to forgive and retain sins. And then the text moves us to a week later, where he shows up to the disciples again. But this time, Thomas is with them. Thomas, earlier in the text, refused to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead. But Jesus now appears to Thomas and tells him not to doubt, but to believe. And then Thomas, of course, says, "My Lord and my God." I think that that part with Thomas is kind of a common thing to preach on in this text. Preachers can kind of take shots at Thomas sometimes for being doubting or not believing. In fact, I think I preached on that my second year of seminary, but I want to do something a little bit different this time. So for this episode of Lectionary Bites, I'm going to be focusing a little bit more on the beginning of this text.
Cool. So Eric, why don't you kind of unpack a little bit of the context and how that leads us into the beginning of this text for today?
Yeah. So the text starts on the evening of the same day that started in the beginning of John chapter 20. So back in John chapter 20, verse 1, it says, on that day, the first day of the week, so it's the Sabbath day, Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. And our text for today starts off with the word hapsios, which establishes continuity with the opening lines of the last section. So it's on the same day of the day that Jesus first appeared to Mary. So we read in the previous verse, verse 18, that Mary went and told the disciples that she saw the risen Lord, but we don't really know if they believed her or not. In fact, maybe the fact that they're still hiding in fear behind a locked door would suggest that they probably didn't believe her, probably thought she was crazy or something, or just messing with them. So we find that they're hiding behind a locked door in fear of the religious authorities, but again, that doesn't stop Jesus. So that's kind of a little bit of the context of John chapter 20. We kind of find this theme of Jesus appearing first to Mary, interestingly enough, and presenting himself to her alive, resurrected from the dead. And of course, she is in shock, but she believes, and she goes and tells the other disciples. So our text for today kind of picks up on that, where Jesus appears to his disciples and says, "Eirene humin," which is kind of what I'm going to focus on a little bit for this Lectionary Bites.
Cool. So tell us a little bit more about eirene humin. What does that mean and how does it kind of function in this text?
Yeah. So eirene humin literally means peace to you, peace be with you is probably the common rendering of this verse. In the context of John, it echoes back to the farewell discourse in chapters 14 through 16. So in chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus told his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you," and then picked up that theme of peace once again in John 16, verse 33, when he said, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So one of the commentaries I read by D.A. Carson, he talked about how this is kind of the fulfillment of Jesus' promise of peace before he left his disciples, before he went to the cross. So it kind of picks up that theme that began in the farewell discourse in John, and Jesus comes to his disciples to fulfill that promise of peace. The word peace, it also has connections to the Hebrew word shalom, which of course has theological significance. It was often used as a greeting, but shalom, the Hebrew word for peace, it also signals God's work of restoration in the Old Testament. So think of passages like Numbers 6:26, the benediction. Psalm 29, verse 11 is another one. Isaiah 66:12, Micah 5, verse 4 through 5. So a lot of these Old Testament texts that talk about shalom and often actually connected with messianic prophecies. So God created everything to be in a state of peace, state of shalom. And we find that in Christ's death and resurrection, he's restoring that shalom, that peace to his new creation. So in Christ, everything is going to be put back the way it was meant to be.
Wow, that's great. So we're not only kind of picking up themes from John 16 of, you know, my peace I leave with you, but it goes back to the Aaronic blessing in the wilderness and back all the way pretty much to the beginning of creation.
Right, this, creation, yeah.
This shalom is really, yeah, that you've kind of unpacked it as this is God's will for creation. Jesus is delivering it to the disciples now then.
Exactly, yeah. It's kind of that fulfillment of God's original intent for creation that was, of course, marred by sin, marred by the fall. We see Christ's work restoring that shalom, that peace to his creation. And even though we might not see a lot of peace in our world today, by faith through the work of Jesus, we know that he is even now restoring peace.
Yeah, that's great. And so you're beginning to kind of make these even modern connections. So why don't we go into that and unpack what this might look like for how we preach this text?
Right. Yeah. So kind of the opposite of peace is conflict, right? And we see a lot of conflict in our world today. We see conflict between nations, between kingdoms. We've really seen that throughout human history. But we kind of have this modern notion that through our own efforts, we can bring about peace. Peace in our time, that kind of thing. But really, we have all these reminders that, well, even the best of human effort isn't going to bring about peace. We see conflicts like the war in Ukraine. We see conflicts even on a smaller scale of in marriage, in family, in the workplace, maybe between friends. So really, I think anybody can kind of identify with a malady that is conflict, that is the opposite of peace. Conflict that really started in Genesis chapter 3, where Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They listened to Satan, and we kind of see conflict just spreading throughout the world from there. But the comfort in our text is that Jesus is restoring peace to this conflicted world, this world that sees conflict manifested in war, in death, in violence, in all sorts of things. So this text is kind of a beautiful reminder that God's will, God's goal for creation is ultimately shalom, is that peace was in the world before the fall and is ultimately what he's pointing towards in the new creation, where he is bringing about peace. So really, I think Jesus coming to his disciples and saying, Eirene hu mean, it's not just he's saying, hi, you know, hey there, or anything. It's like it's signaling a new relationship with God and with one another, with other believers in Christ. And it's a new relationship. It's a new creation that's marked by peace rather than the conflict or separation that we see sin causing. So it kind of goes along with the theme of reconciliation in a sense, where Christians are called to be people of peace, who are called to live peaceably with our neighbors, who seek to share peace with those around us. And so we see Christ creating a new people. We see him bringing about a new creation, even now in our world. And ultimately, that's going to be fulfilled in the eschaton with the new creation. But even now, we're called to be people of peace in this world.
Yeah, that's great. So you see this, it's not only just Jesus brings peace with us, which is an awesome gospel proclamation, but it also has implications for how we live with others too, that we're supposed to be these kind of peacemakers that Jesus calls us to be. And you see that also play out kind of in the way that Jesus talks to his disciples. That's awesome to see the implications of that for our lives as well.
Yeah, we see that a few verses later in this text where he, you know, breathes the Holy Spirit on his disciples and he calls them to forgive sins, to retain sins they're not repented of. So really that peace is brought about through forgiveness. But also kind of reminds me of the text in 2 Corinthians where Paul talks about us being ambassadors of reconciliation, those who speak Christ's words of forgiveness to a world that is in conflict, to a world that is hurting. And he calls his people to be people of peace and who share the peace with those around us.
Wow. Yeah. That's a great gospel message and a great message for how to live our Christian lives. Well, thanks, Eric. Thanks for sharing about this text. Is there anything else that you want us to really kind of come away with?
Yeah. So like I mentioned earlier, peace is ultimately what God is driving his creation towards. That's how he wants things to be. And that's ultimately a promise that we have by faith here and now, but also that we can live by tangibly as we seek to be people who share Christ's peace with others. We have those reminders of his peace in the word, in baptism, in communion, where Jesus is reconciling us to himself. But yeah, it just kind of points us to the work of Jesus and the goal of creation. And I think that's a pretty great gospel message for us today who live, you know, in a world of conflict and struggle.
Well, praise God for bringing us shalom, peace, and Irene, all three. And thank you for listening to this episode of Lectionary Bites. Hopefully this is helpful in your preaching, teaching, and preparation. And listen next time. Thanks.
If you enjoyed Lectionary Bites, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Facebook so that you don't miss a single episode. This podcast is brought to you by the Hasse Library on the campus of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. The Hasse Library, inspiring theological discovery.